and they didn't pay for the top tier of a club like the Ferraros. That table cost Aaron thousands of dollars. He was normally a man very careful with his money, but all of a sudden he was spending cash as if he had it to throw away. And judging from the cash tips at the table and the amount he would add in to his tab at the end of the night, he was doing it to show off for Sasha. He didn't want his woman anywhere near Aaron, just in case, and he'd tried to get Sasha to change tiers with Nancy, but she was so damn stubborn he wanted to shake her. He found himself glaring at her as she served drinks to Aaron's table. He wanted Aaron banned from the club, but he had no real reason. The investigators hadn't handed in their final reports. Yes, he had military training. Yes, he was capable of setting charges, but then so were a number of the men at his table, and the two cameramen who were giving the Ferraros trouble. Giovanni realized why the rules were in place regarding bringing in other riders to serve justice close to home, especially if it was personal. He wanted to break a few necks, do whatever it took to keep his woman safe. He thought cavemen had it right, throw his woman over his shoulder and carry her off where no danger could get to her. But he lived in modern times, and his woman believed in carrying her own weight. The thing was, and he couldn't find the right words to tell her, she was a miracle to him, everything to him, his world, the way Francesca was Stefano's world and Mariko was Rico's. They'd been raised to believe having children was their duty, and they had to find the right women to give them shadow riders for babies. But in the end, when they found the right women, it wasn't about that at all. He knew Stefano wanted children with Francesca, but not because they would be shadow riders. He also knew, if Francesca couldn't have children, Stefano would never give her up and never go to another woman to provide those children. Rico felt exactly the same about Mariko. Giovanni knew, because more than once Rico had told him if Mariko chose not to have children, he wouldn't push her, no matter what Eloisa or the council said. Fortunately, Mariko wanted children. Giovanni knew he should have that conversation with Sasha, but it didn't matter to him anymore. He wanted children with her, but not if she was unhappy. He watched Sasha go up to Aaron's table. Instantly, all attention was on her. Aaron spoke at great length to her. Tom Maryland was there, along with James Corledge. Both men looked as if they were apologizing to her. She gave them a small nod and brief smile. Giovanni knew her now, and that smile was in no way genuine. He willed her to look up at him, but she didn't. She was withdrawing, pulling in to protect herself. He couldn't blame her. She had to be scared. She didn't understand what was happening or why. Her stalker hadn't made demands. The threats to Sandlin were very real, and her brother's health was fragile. If the heavy rod had come down on his head, it could have easily killed him. Taviano and Vittorio had come with him in an effort to help protect Sasha. He was grateful to them. Taviano was distracted and danced more than usual. Vittorio seemed more introspective, as if he had something on his mind but wasn't sharing. Each time Giovanni thought he would try to pry it out of his brother, either Taviano returned to the table, or Sasha was serving a table full of rowdy celebrities. The paparazzi was present in full force. To his dismay, the two cameramen he'd hoped wouldn't be allowed back were there as well. Apparently, the deal made with them when their film was taken was that they could return in a couple of days. Chesney Reynolds was a man who was extremely aggressive at getting his shots. In spite of the fact that the Ferraros were considered cooperative and usually worked well with the photographers, he still tried to jump out at them and followed them relentlessly. Instead of being of use to them, the man was a constant threat to them. He was more surprised at Sid Larson. He was, as a rule, extremely cooperative. At the time the shots had been taken, Sasha was a cocktail waitress at the Ferraro Club. Otherwise, she wasn't affiliated with them in any way. Larson had had no way of knowing that Giovanni would ask her to marry him. Why had he been so adamant about keeping his photographs of a waitress when giving them up meant a shitload of money and a favor owed by the Ferraro family? He'd added both photographers to the list of suspects, and their investigators were working to uncover everything they could about both men. Giovanni couldn't stop himself from looking toward Aaron's table again. There was a part of him that wanted to walk up to the man he'd called his friend and smash him right in the face. He didn't like the fact that Aaron had lied to Sasha. He'd sparred with Aaron to help him out. He'd never competed with him for a woman. He didn't do that kind of thing. He was already ashamed of the stupid game he'd thought up to play with his family to get back at the women so blatantly trying to use them. But that wasn't competing for the same woman. That wasn't making a woman feel special or trying to take her away from a friend or brother and then dropping her. The idea turned his stomach. Gritting his teeth, he turned his head toward the sudden, overpowering scent of roses. Meredith Benson, a powerful actress who had won her share of awards, stood far too close. She'd made a million overtures toward him. He'd made one very bad mistake a few months earlier. He'd been in Los Angeles and had been angry with Stefano for insisting he play the role of playboy yet again. The doctors had made it clear he was sidelined for at least 6 more months. He'd drank too much. He'd known Meredith was a predator, just like he was, and he'd spent the night with her. He forced a smile. "Meredith, good to see you." He was already feeling as guilty as hell. He didn't need Meredith making him feel worse. She was a shark, a woman who enjoyed men and got off on dumping them as publicly as possible. She liked her reputation as a femme fatale, and she wanted as much publicity as possible. Meredith was the kind of woman who constantly schemed to use the paparazzi, just as his family did. He could respect her for that. He respected her business sense, but she didn't have one-night stands. She developed relationships with men. Those relationships sometimes lasted as long as 6 months. That Giovanni didn't like or agree with. Inevitably, she dumped a man who cared about her, and it often shattered her partner. Once, a few years back, one man had committed suicide. She'd gotten a lot of publicity out of that, playing the part of the regretful, mourning young woman. Even then, Giovanni had known her emotions weren't real. She put her hand very possessively on the nape of his neck, her fingers dancing a seductive massage. "I was told you'd be here tonight. I'm so glad my sources were right. Come dance with me, Giovanni. I want to hear all about your engagement. Take a seat. I can tell you right here." He patted the chair next to him, the one Taviano had vacated to take the dance floor. Meredith smirked a little, using the expression she was so famous for. Half seduction and all secrecy, she wiggled until her tight dress slid up her thighs as she sank into the seat. "I couldn't believe it when I heard. I kept expecting you to call me right up until I realized our little tryst meant nothing to you." "It didn't mean a damn thing to you either, Meredith, so don't pretend it did." Her smile stayed intact, but her face got hard. "There is a right way and a wrong way to end things, Giovanni. You're a big boy, you know that, and you knew it going into it. I drank too much, and we hooked up. It wasn't a long-term affair, and you knew that going into it. That's why you took advantage." She tilted her chin and then put her elbow on the table and her chin into the heel of her palm so she could smirk at him.
"How so?"
"I didn't like the publicity you got out of it." Her eyes widened, and one hand went defensively to her throat. "Did you think I arranged for those photographers to be at my gate at that hour? They're always there." He rolled his eyes. "You aren't playing with someone who's wet behind the ears, Meredith. I was born in the game. It wasn't that hard to bribe one of them to tell me how they all came to be there. You had them called. It was a great shot, the two of us kissing. You in a short robe, nothing else, and me still buttoning my shirt."
"Compromising," she said.
She almost purred the word, and just the way she said it bothered him. He knew she was someone who knew the score. She went through men the way others went through candy. Of course, she was always the one caught cheating, not her partner. He didn't think she felt very much in the way of emotions. In fact, he didn't think Meredith was capable of true feeling. No one had ever thrown her over. She had tried calling him dozens of times. She'd issued even more invitations. He'd stuck to the ways of his family, seeing a woman just once. That way there could be no emotional ties. Her ego hadn't allowed her to drop it. I had no idea they were going to be there, or I'd have been more discreet, he said.
Dance with me and make up for it. I'm sure your little waitress won't mind.
Don't call her that. He sounded harsher than he intended and glanced toward Sasha. She was back at the bar, talking to Alan the bartender and not looking his way. He would have felt better if he could have caught her eye, maybe introduced Meredith to her. Her name is Sasha.
I'm sorry, Giovanni. I don't want us to be awkward when we meet. I value your friendship, and I'm trying to do damage control, but I seem to be failing miserably. Is she the jealous type? Should I just go? Aren't you allowed women friends?
Deal. He detested this bullshit. He glanced up at Vittorio. So far, his brother had been silent. Vittorio had never cared for Meredith. Vittorio shrugged. He didn't know what to do either. Giovanni rose, trying not to feel the way his stomach lurched. His calf hurt like a son of a bitch, in spite of the whiskey. But he could take it for one lousy dance. A part of him was certain Meredith was playing him again. She couldn't possibly have been hurt that he hadn't called her. But there was that tiny little bit of doubt. Of course I'll dance with you, Meredith. He held out his hand. Sasha definitely isn't the jealous type. He hoped Vittorio got the message and would apprise Sasha of what was happening. Meredith beamed at him. She took his hand, and as they moved around the tables to the top of the stairs, she slid right under his shoulder, her arm curving around his waist. She was tall, with long legs that went on forever. She looked good and knew it. She leaned into him, pressing her lips against his ear so she could be heard above the loud music. He inclined his head just enough to let her so he could catch what she was saying.
"I'd really like to meet her. Your Sasha must be very special."
He smiled, because, hell yes, Sasha was special. He had to turn his head to press his lips against her ear so she could hear as they continued down the stairs. "I'd like for you to meet her. She'll be on a break in a few minutes. You'll have to come back to the table with me and meet her." He didn't want to give up 1 minute of his time alone with Sasha, especially now, when he knew she was upset over her brother. But keeping Meredith from trying to sink her teeth into his woman was wise. Giving up a few more minutes wouldn't kill him. The music was slow, so he swung her into his arms. Every Ferraro knew how to dance. That was one of the thousands of requirements put on them from the time they were very young. He was good at it, although Vittorio was the best. Still, Giovanni could make his partner float across the floor in perfect sync with him. He realized, as he pulled her in close, that he didn't like her body sliding over his. That was for Sasha, only his woman. He kept his frame perfect, but Meredith's body melded to his, and she kept looking up at him, smiling into his face with a look of near adoration. That made him uncomfortable. "I'm very much in love with Sasha," he felt compelled to say.
"What?"
She went up on tiptoe, in spite of her height and heels. Her arm slid around his neck, and she leaned her body right into his.
"I couldn't hear you."
Her lips were against his neck, close to his ear. He turned his head toward hers. "I'm very much in love with Sasha," he proclaimed it a second time, wanting her to understand. His mouth was a breath away from hers, and she pressed her red lips to his, holding his neck like a boa constrictor, giving the performance of her life as she kissed him. Flashes went off from every direction. He caught both arms and dragged her away from him as he jerked his head back, his heart sinking. He'd underestimated Meredith once again. She smirked at him. "Now we're even. You're going to be all over the tabloids as a two-timing asshole, Giovanni, and you deserve it." Everything in him stilled. "Did you once think how Sasha might feel? Who gives a damn? She's going to have to get used to seeing you in the tabloids, accused of screwing everything in skirts that comes near you. Fuck her. You didn't think how I might feel when the tabloids speculated that you dumped me." He regarded her for a long time, and something in his expression wiped the smirk from her face. "The problem you have right now, Meredith, is that I won't forgive a hurt to my woman." "Me? Yeah, that's part of the game. But you knew before you did this that you were going to hurt her, and you didn't give a damn. Money talks."
It always has. It doesn't matter how big a star you are. Your career can be ended in a heartbeat. He snapped his fingers. Consider that the heartbeat. He turned to walk away, wiping his lips with the back of his hand, despising her, despising all the women like her. They were ruthless and greedy and willing to hurt innocents to get what they wanted. Sasha had enough to contend with without having to deal with what was going to be in the papers the next morning. There was no way to stop it. Even Meredith couldn't stop it now. She'd set the paparazzi on him and even made certain to bring in Reynolds and Larson. Both would be more than happy to take on the Ferraros. Cursing, he took the stairs two at a time, ignoring Meredith's frantic call after him. Already, he had his phone out and was texting their Hollywood contacts. All of them. Every producer the family knew and all those they didn't have relationships with. Money talked. He had tons of it, and Meredith was going to be hit where it hurt. No producer was going to get behind her films. He would make certain if she was being considered for a part, he would take it away from her. Had she kept her revenge to him, he wouldn't have done a thing. But she knew better than to fuck with his woman. The Ferraros had a certain reputation. She thought herself out of reach. Sasha stood at the top of the stairs, waiting. She'd seen the kiss, the flashes, Meredith's arms entwined around his neck. He could tell by the look on her face. Flashes continued to go off. Several photographers tried to follow him. He didn't know why, since they all had zoom lenses, and they had to know security was going to stop them. He ignored that little byplay, too, his eyes on Sasha's, willing her to keep looking at him and nowhere else. He held out his hand. She stared at it a beat too long, and his heart clenched so hard in his chest he feared he might be having a heart attack. He kept his hand out, waiting. With great reluctance, she put her smaller one in his. He closed his fingers around hers and pulled her to him as they moved together back to his table. He pulled out a chair for her and then sank down into the one closest, dragging her chair up to his, arms caging her in, just in case she tried to escape him. That woman. A former lover? The words bit deep. Fuck. Fuck. What the hell could he say but the truth? It was a fucking one-night stand. Stupid of me, hooking up with a shark. But I was having a pity party because the doc told me at least 6 more months on Playboy duty, and I hated it. So, fucking Meredith Benson, the hottest actress in Hollywood right now, was part of your little pity party. He raked his fingers through his hair. The hurt in her voice nearly destroyed him. He didn't want to see himself through her eyes. He looked bad. Maybe he was. Hell, he didn't even know anymore. It all came back to that game that never seemed to go away. Baby, I know that hurt. To see that on the dance floor. That? You mean you kissing another woman? Not just kissing her, but your tongue down her throat? He shook his head. My tongue was nowhere near her throat. She kissed me, Sasha. For revenge. Because Meredith likes to dump her lovers publicly for the publicity. She craves the camera and the drama. She thrives on it. This was all about revenge. She set me up with the paparazzi. And like an idiot, I fell for it. I'm sorry. I know this is going to be a firestorm, and every time you go into a grocery store or see a magazine or watch television, it's going to be in your face. But you have to know, I wasn't a party to that. Giovanni. She sounded tired, and his gut tightened in alarm. Your world is so far removed from mine. These games you all play so casually are beyond me. I don't understand them. And quite frankly, I don't want to. Maybe you weren't kissing her back. Maybe that dance with your bodies all over each other didn't mean anything to you, but it did to me. I suppose if I was a woman in your world, I'd just grab Aaron and dance with him like that, kiss him like that, and smile for the cameras. It isn't my world, no matter how much I want to fit in for you. Don't, baby. Don't do this. You're tired and scared, and I understand that. I do. But you know damn well I didn't betray you. I've had a lot of one-night stands. I can't pretend I didn't. Hell, I think they're all pretty much documented. You hear lies? Am I lying when I tell you I love you and I'm not capable of being unfaithful? I'm not. I told you about my life. I need you, Sasha. You think your brother needs you, and he does, but not like I do. Not in the same way. I've never had one fucking thing for myself. I've done my duty and played my part for the family. You're everything to me. Don't let a vindictive, petty woman rip us apart.
He hated the tears turning that beautiful sapphire to liquid. He caught her chin and leaned in to brush her mouth with his. She jerked back.
You still have her lipstick on your mouth, Giovanni.
The accusation was harsh, but he wasn't about to let that stop him. Wipe it the fuck off, Sasha, right now. Use the water in the glass if you have to, but get her off me. Sasha responded to the command in his voice. She dipped a napkin into the water and rubbed off Meredith's lipstick. He despised the woman all the more. Leaving the evidence behind had obviously been part of her plan. He'd tried to wipe it off, but apparently she'd made certain it was smeared everywhere.
Thank you. I want you to take a deep breath and really look at me, Sasha. I could never give you up. I don't care what the circumstances were. I couldn't. If you were dancing with Aaron and he kissed you, I might go to jail for beating the holy hell out of him. But you I love. I wouldn't touch you, nor would I break up with you. I'd try to figure out what I wasn't giving you that you needed. Meredith Benson was looking to fuck me up with you. Don't let her succeed.
Sasha hung her head, shaking it.
I have to step back, catch my breath, and figure out what I'm doing. I need Sandlin safe, but I also need to think about us realistically. I can't do that when I'm with you. I can't do that with people around us every second. I want to go back to my apartment by myself and really have time to think.
He shook his head. It isn't safe, and you know it.
Then make it safe. Surround the place with a million guards. You have to give this to me, Giovanni. I need to figure out what I'm doing. If you can't give this to me, I'm going to say we're done, because right now I can't get rid of the image of you and that woman kissing on the dance floor with all those cameras going off. It's burned into my mind for all time.
She held up her hand when he would have protested.
It doesn't matter that it was all about revenge. It's your world. It's how you live. She represents a good many of the people populating your world. I need space, and I'm asking for it.
He knew he had no choice. The only play he had left was to comply. That gave him a night to fuck up Meredith's life even more than she could ever conceive of him doing. What was the use of having billions of dollars at one's disposal if they couldn't ruin an enemy? He hated that Meredith had hurt Sasha, especially on the heels of someone trying to kill her brother. He brought her hand to his mouth, kissed her knuckles, and conceded with a nod.
Chapter 16. The problem with pity parties and crying one's eyes out, Sasha decided, wasn't the red, puffy face or the swollen eyes. It was the headache. She didn't get headaches as a rule and tended to be a baby when she got one. She took a couple of over-the-counter pills that did nothing for it and lay down with every curtain pulled. She'd pulled them to keep out anyone like a nasty stalker who probably was lying in wait with binoculars. She wasn't giving him or anyone else a show. The paparazzi could be out there, too, hoping to catch her reaction to Meredith Benson kissing her man, so they could put it in front of the world. She didn't like crying in front of anyone, and she wasn't going to do it where her picture could be taken for display on a rack in a grocery store. Still, she was too restless to lie down. She was up and pacing through the small apartment, making a slow circuit, trying not to think about anything because her head was so crowded with everything that had been happening she couldn't think straight. After an hour of a wild storm of weeping, 15 minutes of trying to sleep, and another 15 of pacing, she threw herself into a chair and tried to sort through things the way she always did. She made a list. Compiling problems was ridiculous, but the way her mind worked, she needed to see them, figure out the most pressing and how best to handle it. Number one, always, always, was her brother. His care and safety. The Hendricks Center was the best that she could find, and the surgeon was renowned. She wanted Sandlin to stay there. The moment Goodman had made noises about removing him for the safety of other patients, she'd panicked and couldn't hear much after that. Granted, she'd wanted to break down and cry right then. It had been such a relief to have Giovanni and Stefano talk to Goodman in their calm, quiet voices. She could listen to those voices all day. They sounded reassuring and safe. As long as Giovanni was around, she felt Sandlin was safe. He had provided the extra security and the bodyguard. Her stalker had still gotten in, and she was certain he had been the one to rig the explosives, although Giovanni had pointed out to Goodman that they didn't know that for certain yet. She had checked out the conversation for a few minutes, but now, thinking it over, she knew they had quietly offered him more money for Sandlin's care, for the extra trouble of security and bodyguards, for more background checks. In return for allowing her brother to stay there, they had been willing to add another desperately needed wing onto the center and to fund the equipment for that wing as well. Her breath caught in her throat. She hadn't been paying attention. She'd stood by the window in that stuffy little office, shaking, terrified she'd have to remove her brother. And all the while, Giovanni had been negotiating on her behalf. He'd taken care of it without hesitating. He hadn't asked permission from his family, nor had Stefano balked, treating her as if she'd been born into the Ferraro family solely because she was engaged to Giovanni. A small groan escaped. She'd been so prideful, insisting she take care of Sandlin herself. She couldn't afford extra security for him. It wasn't Giovanni's fault that someone was stalking her, and he certainly didn't have to continually provide her with protection or pay for her brother's protection, yet he did. She wasn't even certain if she'd thanked him. She'd been so busy resenting him for even offering because Sandlin was her brother and she wanted to be the one to take care of him. What in the hell was wrong with her? Loving Sandlin meant utilizing whatever she had access to in order to give him the best possible care available. Was it her ego that dictated to her that she not used Giovanni's money? She rubbed her temples, put her head back, and stared at the ceiling. It was the fact that she didn't want Giovanni or anyone else to think she was with him for his money. Everyone used him. They used his family. They wanted something from them. She'd seen the women in the club throw themselves at every family member in the hopes of hooking one, not because they liked them, but for their money. What would that be like? She didn't want Giovanni to think she wanted his money, not for her and not for Sandlin. She wanted Giovanni. He made her laugh. He made her feel safe in an unfamiliar world. He seemed to value her opinions. He listened carefully to every word she said, as if it was terribly important to him. She let out another groan and wrote down, "Stalker." How had she managed to catch the eye of some insane person? The detectives had told her it could be someone who passed her on the street, and she'd absently smiled at them. She worked at the deli in the daytime. She smiled at a lot of customers. She worked at the club at night. She'd worked the floor at first, and who knew how many customers she'd served? Giovanni thought the problem had started when she took over for Nancy that first night of serving on the top tier. She was afraid he was right. It felt right. But how did one explain that to a cop? The Ferraro family was doing their own investigations, and she'd gone along with them, not telling the police everything. She knew why. She couldn't deny that she knew if Giovanni and his family figured out who was threatening her and those around her, they would send for their cousins, and the man would disappear or be found dead. What did she think about that? She began to pace again, thinking about the way the light structure and a portion of the ceiling had fallen on the couch where her brother always sat to read. Everyone knew he sat there. That light fixture had been deliberately rigged to fall on him. She knew the stalker was escalating his behavior. He'd threatened Giovanni. He'd targeted her brother. What was next? Who was next? Was any of that Giovanni's fault? Of course not. She would have the stalker and the threat he presented hanging over her head without being engaged to Giovanni. If anything, Giovanni had tried to make both her and her brother safe. She had been targeted by John Darby and his college frat boys for an ugly prank so he could boost his reality show ratings. Was that Giovanni's fault? Nope. She had taken that job because it paid so much money. West had told her about the dangers of drunken celebrities and how they often felt very entitled. He'd even told her about the specialized training servers got before they worked the top tier and told her he was worried because she hadn't had it yet. She'd insisted she could do the job. She wasn't involved with Giovanni at the time. The incident would have happened no matter what. Even her picture in the tabloids might have happened without her name being attached to his, because Darby would have tried to get mileage out of his prank. She picked up her cell phone, needing to call Giovanni. She just wanted to hear his voice, but she knew if she did, he'd want to come to her, or have her go to him. That told her something right there. She had confidence that it was her he wanted, not someone like Meredith. She believed him when he told her he would be faithful to her. She believed he had a code, and he would always live by that code. She pressed the cell phone to her forehead and continued to pace. Why was she so angry at him? His world. He was born into it. He'd had no more choice in who gave birth to him than she'd had. She'd just gotten luckier. Was she really going to throw him over because he had far too much money? Because he lived life in a completely different lane than the one she was used to? She was a fighter. She'd always been a fighter. Her mother told her she came out of the womb kicking and screaming. As a toddler, she never let anything defeat her when she wanted to learn something. She could be defiant, go her own way, be stubborn until she got what she wanted. Was she going to let Giovanni's lifestyle defeat her? Why? Pride? Ego? Worry about what the rest of the world would think of her because she was becoming part of a very wealthy family? Fear that she'd have to constantly battle the paparazzi and what was written about her? She'd never cared before. Never. Why had it suddenly become important now? There was a sound outside her door. It sounded like something had hit her balcony rail. Everything in her froze, driving out her inner dialogue. She went to the front door, but she wasn't about to open it. Nobody knocked. She took a breath and slowly pushed aside her curtain. She'd left the light on so that it shone on the small porch just outside her door. It wasn't much more than a landing, really, but she called it a front porch. Had she sat out there, she'd be staring into the alley, and at the surrounding buildings, but still. Right now, she was looking at the wooden railing, obviously broken. Something had hit it and was pushed outward. Outward? Someone had just stood outside her door and shoved that railing, or hit it with something. She knew a bodyguard had been sitting out there. Where was he now? She pressed Giovanni's number and prayed he'd answer immediately. A crack sounded so loud she jumped. Simultaneously, the glass around her porch light shattered and the light went off. Her heart thudded and she stepped back from the window. It was a good thing she did, because the glass in the large pane splintered apart in hundreds of small pieces, flying into her house. With it, liquid sprayed in every direction, as the thrown bottle spun through the air, releasing the fluid inside. "Sasha!" Giovanni's voice was so calm, she sagged with relief. She equated him with safety. "He's here," she said. "I think he hurt the bodyguard. He broke out one of my windows." Even as she said it, the second window exploded, glass hurtling through her residence. Again, whatever had been thrown spilled a liquid all over. She could smell accelerant and knew the next thing coming through the window would be fire. "He's burning the place. Call the fire department. Hurry, Giovanni." He was swearing now, not so calm, but she could tell he was on the move. "Get out of there, baby. You can't stay in there. Where the fuck are your bodyguards? I think he did something terrible to them." "That's impossible. Too many. Get out of there. I'll find out where they are." She had no choice. Already, the next cylinder came hurtling through the window, and she saw this bottle was stuffed with a fiery rag. Instantly, it was as if her apartment exploded with flames. She didn't have time for anything but grabbing her pictures of her parents and Sandlin as she raced to the front door. When she tried to open it, it wouldn't budge. Her heart nearly stopped. There was a back way out, but it was a small balcony off her bedroom, nothing more than a fire escape. It was even smaller than the front landing, and the stairs were really a fire ladder. If she didn't go now, she wasn't going to make it. Flames were licking up the walls to the ceiling, climbing the drapes, racing across the floor toward her bedroom. She ran. The heat was intense. Fear was worse. Her heart beat out of control as she slammed the bedroom door closed and tried to open the one to the fire escape. Her fingers were shaking so badly it took a few moments to unlock the door. As she did, a Molotov cocktail was thrown through her bedroom window and landed on the floor on the opposite side of the bed. Sasha shoved the door open and jumped out, grabbing for the railing. The window was on the opposite side of the apartment, so she figured there was a good chance her attacker couldn't make it around to this side of the building before she could make it to the ground. She nearly fell down the metal ladder and hit the pavement. She screamed when arms came around her. "You're safe." It was Stefano's voice. "We're here now. Giovanni's on the way. The bodyguards were pulled off duty. I'm killing Cosimo for falling for an order like that. They left behind a new guy, and he was beaten senseless." There was distaste in his voice, although he still sounded matter-of-fact. All the while he talked, Stefano had swirled a long trench coat around her, covering her. She was wearing pajamas and little else. Her pajamas tended to be very skimpy because she liked feeling feminine after a long day in jeans and a tee when she'd been riding horses and working cattle. Also, she was the type who was always too hot. Going naked in bed or wearing a minimal amount of clothing was always what she preferred. He kept walking with her. She couldn't stop shaking. "Is the bodyguard dead? What's his name? I didn't have a chance to meet him." Even her teeth were chattering. "Raimondo Abatangelo. He's actually Cosimo's youngest brother. Cosimo and Tomas, the oldest of the Abatangelo brothers, were both shot during the attack on our family last year. This was the first assignment given to them since it happened. We thought it was going to be an easy one. Raimondo has a military background and trained for becoming a bodyguard, but you were also his first assignment." "You didn't say if he's alive." She was terrified he was going to answer in the negative, and she knew she'd never forgive herself. "He's alive, but just barely. I should never have insisted on going home. If I hadn't, my stalker couldn't possibly have hurt him. Where was Giovanni?" Stefano was holding her close, keeping her shaking, rubbery legs from letting her fall. She didn't know how many people were putting out the fire, keeping it from spreading to the buildings on either side, but they seemed to have come from everywhere. She closed her eyes. "The deli is going to be ruined. There were flames on the floor of my apartment. It had to have burned through. And the smoke and water will ruin all of the food if the fire doesn't burn it to the ground. What am I going to tell Pietro?" "We can rebuild," Stefano assured. He had walked her down the alley. Lucia, Amo, and Nicoletta waited. All three immediately put their arms around her and all but dragged her toward the open back door of Lucia's treasures. Stefano shook his head. "I'd prefer all three of you to evacuate. Amo, my men are going to take you to the pizzeria. I've already asked Benito to open it. Taviano and Vittorio will go with you, and Giovanni's meeting you there." "I don't understand why he wants me dead," Sasha said. It was true. What had she done that was so terrible to this unknown man? What could I have done to set him off like this? "You haven't done anything, honey," Stefano assured. He glanced at his brother over her head, and Vittorio immediately put his arm around her. "Men like this, they're sick. They have paranoid fantasies. When you don't react the way their fantasies dictate, then they lose it." "I don't want everyone around me," she said. "Not Lucia, Amo, and Nicoletta. He could burn down Lucia's treasures, or harm them, just because they're associating with me." Sasha looked around, suddenly afraid for everyone. "What if he has a gun? He could be about to shoot someone right now. He's got military training. All of you have said that." Even to herself, her voice edged toward hysteria. She didn't want to sound out of control because she wanted them taking her seriously. Everything she said was the truth, and the threat was very real, especially for Giovanni. "He can't come near me," she whispered. "I mean it, Stefano. You have to tell Giovanni to stay away from me. He's going to go after him next."
"There is nothing you or I can say to keep Giovanni away from you, Sasha," Stefano said. "If you know him at all, you'll know that."
She shook her head. What was there to say? Stefano was right about Giovanni. He wouldn't stay away. but she suddenly had a very bad feeling that everything her stalker had done was to bring Giovanni out in the open. The Ferraros protected their homes. Security was tight, and it wasn't as if someone could easily get close to the actual house where Giovanni resided. It was much easier to draw him out. What better way than to attack Sasha?
"He's going to go after him," she said. "Stefano, you have to listen to me on this. I think Giovanni is the real target."
"Maybe. But if you get to the pizzeria, honey, you'll find Giovanni isn't so easy to get to. Hurry up. Go with Vittorio and Taviano."
Vittorio tightened his arm around her. Taviano shepherded Lucia, Amo, and Nicoletta. Around them, a tight shield of guards formed as they made their way quickly up the block to the pizzeria. Benito had the back door open, and they were swept inside.
"Helicopter will land on the roof," Benito said to Vittorio. "Use the attic stairs. There is a trap door. Wait inside the attic with her, Vittorio. The guards are going up to the roof now. It's flat and has plenty of room. They'll clear the surrounding rooftops. If he's up there on any of the buildings waiting with a rifle, he'll make a run for it. Giovanni's going to hunt him with the chopper first, and then he'll bring it in to retrieve his woman."
Her heart jumped. Giovanni was going to hunt him with a helicopter? Can't he bring down the helicopter?
"It isn't as easy to do that as it looks in the movies," Vittorio explained, turning her away from the others so she could climb the narrow stairs leading to the attic. "He'd have to take out the pilot to bring it down, or make the shot of his life. Giovanni isn't going to make it easy to shoot him. There's going to be a hell of a bright spotlight sweeping the rooftops. If that gets in his eyes, he's not going to be able to see to shoot at the pilot."
"Wait, Giovanni is piloting the helicopter?"
Vittorio shrugged. "We were all trained to fly helicopters, planes, and drive fast cars. We have very specialized training. Flying a helicopter is very different than flying planes, I might add. We are required to maintain licenses for all three, and that includes very large trucks and motorcycles. In case you're worried about your man, we're also required to be more than proficient in hand-to-hand combat."
"The stalker beat up that guard, and he was trained."
"We began training at the age of 2, Sasha. Granted, it was in the form of playing at first, but we still had to learn the moves. We've trained just about every day of our lives since. You know that friend of Giovanni's? The mixed martial arts fighter? He sparred with Giovanni, but G took it easy on him. Really easy. Giovanni's reflexes are like lightning. He's as strong as an ox, and when he hits you with the power behind his punch or kick, you're going down. And most likely, he's broken something. Your face or your arm. Leg. Ribs. If he hasn't broken something, it's because he was careful."
Sasha closed her eyes and wished she could just disappear. Giovanni was in the air searching for her stalker. "He figured out that he's the real target, didn't he?"
"Yes."
Her stomach lurched. "You're telling me how safe he is up there in that helicopter, but he's really setting himself up to draw him out, isn't he?"
She waited, her heart pounding. Her mouth was dry. She knew. She wanted to punch Vittorio. She pushed him hard, out of the way. It was the last thing he expected, and he rocked back, giving her just enough room to squeak past him. He caught at the trench coat Stefano had put around her, and she let the coat fall from her shoulders. If she ran out onto the roof and waved her arms, the stalker would try to shoot her, and Giovanni might have his target without exposing himself to certain danger. Vittorio caught her just before she managed to unlock the trap door leading to the roof.
"What are you doing, crazy woman? Let go!"
She tried to kick him off her, but he had her in some kind of a hole that wrapped her up so tightly she was like a mummy.
"Does Giovanni realize what a little hellion he has?"
Vittorio asked.
"Sheesh, woman, stop struggling. It isn't like you're going to get away, and this is a rather intimate hold for being with my future sister-in-law."
That brought her up short. She was locked against him, and it wasn't like she was wearing much in the way of clothes. She relaxed instantly, embarrassed that she'd put them both in such a weird position. He pointed to the attic. Reluctantly, she went down the steps. He sat on the top one.
"What exactly did you think you were going to do? Run out there and make yourself a target?"
She picked up the trench coat and wrapped it around her body. "Yes, better me than Giovanni.
If you were my woman,
I'd turn you over my knee and spank you until your ass was raw. His voice was utterly calm, but it still sent a shiver down her spine because she had the feeling that calm, soothing Vittorio was capable of such a thing.
Are you insane? Do you think Giovanni would just let you get shot? He'd leap out of a helicopter to save your life. He'd do anything to save you. Men like Giovanni protect their women. He's fine with you being whatever you want to be and do whatever you want to do, but that ends when the cost could be your life. Has it occurred to you that I feel the same way about him? She hissed.
No. Frankly, I don't believe that. Again, he spoke so calmly that at first she didn't understand what he said. And he meant it. He didn't believe she felt the same way about Giovanni as he did her.
Why do you say that, Vittorio?
You're a highly intelligent woman, Sasha. You aren't blind or deaf. You're a planner. You take great care of your brother, and it's clear you put him first. That adds up to a certain personality. If you loved my brother with the same intensity as he loves you, you would never have put him in the position he's in. You would have recognized the danger and avoided it. You wouldn't have gone to your house licking your wounds because some woman put her tongue in your man's mouth. You wanted out. You knew he was uncomfortable and wanted no part of Meredith Benson. You weren't jealous of her. I saw your face. You didn't get Giovanni out of the situation. You used it to remove yourself.
She had done all that. She had. She didn't like his world, and she'd thought to remove herself. It was only when she was alone without him that she realized she loved Giovanni enough to face that world with him.
You put yourself in danger. He loves you enough to let you because you're the type of woman to get angry and say it's your right to do that. And yeah, he shrugged, it is, absolutely. But having a man like Giovanni means if you love him, you'll do the right thing and take the protection offered.
She almost protested. She had taken his protection. She had been surrounded by guards. But she knew that wasn't what Vittorio was telling her. She knew there were all kinds of men in the world. Some of them wouldn't have cared what she did. If she wanted to go, she could go. There wouldn't have even been a discussion. With a man like Giovanni, her safety and the safety of her brother were real issues. When she took him on as a partner, she took that part of him on as well.
"I hear you, Vittorio," she said. "I won't be making that mistake again. I would like to see what's going on, though. Is there a way to do that without putting us in danger?"
He nodded. "But you do what I tell you. I'm not like Giovanni." It was a warning. Gentle, delivered in a mild voice, but again, a little shiver of awareness crept down her spine. She was fairly certain he wasn't that gentle man they all thought he was. No one else seemed aware of this side of him. He was just so calm, but he was being calm now, just scary calm. Giovanni referred to him as the peacemaker. She suspected he was the peacemaker for a reason other than what the others thought.
"Have you heard anything about the fire?"
She had been afraid to ask, afraid it would have jumped from her apartment to the buildings on either side of hers, as well as Mashi's.
"It's out already. It was out almost before the fire department got there. Why didn't the sprinklers go off? They were installed last year."
She hadn't thought of that.
"The only thing I can think of is that when he got into the apartment the first time, he disrupted the line to them. I don't know how they work. I never thought about it, but he had to have done something. If he did it when he first got into my apartment, doesn't that mean that he planned on killing me all along?"
Vittorio nodded slowly. "So, if he really had planned to kill you, why didn't he just do it immediately? Why take all these chances?"
He frowned as she started up the stairs. He began texting, sending a mass text to the family. They're pretty good at figuring things out.
"How much damage did the fire do?"
"Your apartment is a mess, and so is the deli. But nothing else was touched. We'll get a work crew in the moment the investigation is complete and tear the building down and rebuild. The nice part is, Pietro has wanted to remodel for a couple of years now. His place has gotten popular for lunch, and he would like to expand the inside to include an area for more tables, or have an outside court. Clearly that would have to be built in the back, but he's got all kinds of plans. Stefano will look them over and either approve or not."
"I don't know how you can make a fire sound like a good thing," she said.
as if Pietro was going to be happy.
He will be, in the end. Besides, we can send him on a vacation to the home country. He's been wanting to go, but claimed he couldn't because of his business. Right now, he's upset, but once he sees what Stefano is willing to do at that place, he'll be happy.
Like what? She asked suspiciously.
That little apartment could be used for his offices. You'll be living with Giovanni.
He grinned at her and reached up to cautiously lift the trapdoor.
Straight ahead is a thick railing. It's low. No more than 3 feet, so you're going to have to stay low. I mean it, Sasha. If you start to rise, expect to find me on top of you.
Has anyone ever told you that you're annoying and bossy?
She edged out of the attic, staying low, going to her hands and knees and even lower. She didn't want Vittorio flattening her.
No. Everyone thinks I'm sweet. In fact, I think my reputation is sterling among my family members.
She would have rolled her eyes, but he couldn't see her. Light was already streaking through the dark as the sun began to rise. Working all night and then having a madman burn down her apartment and try to kill her made the hours pass fast. She made it to the railing and stayed low, waiting for instructions. Vittorio annoyed her by putting a hand on the nape of her neck, so that even if she thought about lifting her head above the railing, it was impossible. She clenched her teeth. She was a woman of action, not someone to be pushed into a little room and guarded. Giovanni understood her. Vittorio did as well, but he didn't care. He would have locked her in that little room and let her be angry with him. Giovanni took the consequences of her actions. She heard the helicopter. It sounded close. Every instinct was to rise up and look for herself. She wasn't certain what Vittorio was doing. He certainly was looking over the railing.
"Raimondo is a good fighter," he said suddenly. "Giovanni pointed that out in his texts. He isn't trained the way we are, but he's training with Emilio, and Emilio is a hell of a fighter. He wouldn't have allowed Raimondo to go out on assignment if he didn't think he was ready. He was beaten nearly to death." Her stomach twisted into knots.
"That's on me."
"He would have been guarding Giovanni's residence," Vittorio said. "I'm not certain you can claim that one. Giovanni thinks he was beaten deliberately."
"Aren't all beatings deliberate?"
Vittorio lifted his hand, and she turned, staying low, scooting even farther down in order to rest her back and head against the wall. "Giovanni says only a seasoned fighter, someone with a great deal of experience in combat and martial arts, could have possibly beaten the kid to that extent. Raimondo got in a few good ones. His hands were damaged, but this man nearly beat him to death." Her breath caught in her throat.
"You think it was Aaron?"
Vittorio shook his head.
"I don't know what to think. Aaron's smart. If he wanted to do this, if he has some problem with Giovanni, and this looks as if it's aimed at Giovanni, he could easily make it look as if he's being set up. He took that picture of you, and it was on his phone. No one else had it. It ended up being in the tabloids. Some of the material the bomb was made from was charged to a credit card he later reported stolen. He served in the military and has training in explosives."
"Don't you think that's all a little too neat?"
Sasha thought it was. "Aaron was smart. At least Giovanni always said he was. He wouldn't stack the evidence against himself, would he?"
"It is all a little too neat, as if we're being handed Aaron with a bow tied neatly around the package. Don't you think a very intelligent person could pull that off? Make it look as if he's being framed?
What would be his purpose?"
She didn't want to hear that little voice inside that repeated Aaron's lie about Giovanni and him in competition over women, but it was there. He'd lied when there was no reason to.
Vittorio shrugged. "We've got a lot of money, Sasha. People think we live magical lives. They see us as wasted human beings with far too much money.
You all play the part of playboys deliberately. You want people to think all you do is race cars and chase women."
He gave her a small smile. "Someone who lived a good deal of his life on the streets, struggling for every penny, can build up a great deal of resentment. Aaron may think everything has been handed to Giovanni. If he had his eye on you and G managed to grab you out from under him, he might tip over the edge. But Aaron never so much as asked me out. He sent you flowers, honey, on his phone. It turns out there are a number of photographs of you. Quite a few. That brought her up short. She turned her head to look directly at him. Straight into his eyes, because she had to know the truth. What are you talking about? How could you possibly know something like that? Vittorio shrugged, looking casual, calm, as if nothing ever ruffled him. I know Giovanni told you about riding shadows. It isn't that difficult to get into someone's house and look through their things. If Aaron is a threat to my brother, then I'm going to remove that threat. If not me, one of my cousins or another brother. It's that simple. Another shiver went down her spine. If Vittorio had been showing an intense emotion such as anger, she wouldn't have been so affected by the way he stated so calmly that Aaron was probably living on borrowed time. Clearly, if the Ferraros found out that he was behind all the threats, he didn't have long to live. She realized they carried out their work without passion. It was their job, and they didn't allow emotions to get in their way. Vittorio was a mystery to her. He didn't appear to give off the aura of danger the others did, but somehow, spending a little time in his company, she was beginning to think he might be the most dangerous of all of the Ferraros. He reached out unexpectedly and put his hand on her shoulder. His touch was gentle, but she felt his strength. I didn't mean to scare you, Sasha. You have enough to worry about. Giovanni is going to be fine, and we'll figure out who is doing this and why. His cool assurance made her feel more confident. She nodded her head, just as a shot rang out. Instantly, a volley of shots answered, the sound coming from all directions. Instinctively, she ducked. Vittorio moved away from her, coming up in a crouch, peering over the wide concrete barrier. A bright light lit the sky. The helicopter that had been flying back and forth in a grid pattern suddenly dipped low and raced toward a rooftop across from the pizzeria and down three buildings. The light beamed along the roof of that building, illuminating a man with a rifle running across the roof toward a door. He dropped the rifle and disappeared inside just as more shots rang out. "Taviano and Stefano are not with Nicoletta, are they?" she asked. "That was three rifles. Eme's a crack shot as well. No one was able to get a good angle on him. Giovanni hung out there, but he didn't take the bait. Do you think he was waiting to get a bead on me?" Again she looked straight at him, needing an answer. Vittorio wasn't looking back at her. His attention was centered on the drama playing out as his brothers and sister tried to race the assailant down to the street. Giovanni kept the helicopter in play, using the powerful light to illuminate the streets and alleyways below to see where he would come out so the others could trap him. The problem was, there were so many routes he could take. He could move from building to building without being seen. "I don't know, Sasha. It's impossible to know what this man is looking to do." For the first time, she wasn't certain whether someone was telling the truth or not. Usually there was a note of discord, but Vittorio was too smooth to give her one. Still, there was something. "You think he was looking to shoot me, don't you?" A much better question. "Yes, that's exactly what I think. Giovanni thinks so as well. That's why he went up in the helicopter. He wanted to distract him. The shooter wouldn't think in terms of us using a helicopter. He was up on that roof waiting for Giovanni to join the fray, so he could shoot you in front of him." Her heart clenched hard. "That's why he didn't shoot me when I came out of my house. He wanted to do it in front of Giovanni." "I believe that." "So, my stalker isn't stalking me because I'm important to him. I'm so confused. I don't understand any of this." She turned around and rose up onto her knees so she could look down at the streets. "Just so you know, it's far easier living and working on a cattle ranch in Wyoming than living in Chicago. If anyone tries to tell you differently, point them my way and I'll straighten them out. Come on, let's get out of here. The cops are going to want to talk to you. It's going to be a while before we can get you home and in bed." She looked toward the deli where her little apartment had been. Now there were only smoking ruins. "I don't have a thing. No clothes. No anything." "You're going to be fine, honey. We'll take care of you. You're doing great. I know it's been a crappy day, but hang in there. Giovanni will be here soon, and we'll have our lawyer present as well when they ask you questions." I don't know what I can and can't say. Just tell them about being in your apartment and all hell breaking loose. If they ask me why I was there instead of